was just stressed over not messing the music up very bad. Sermons, if you talk fast, people listen fast, you get out fast, you get very little complaints. This music stuff makes me nervous because I'm not as skilled in that area as other areas. I will tell you that if you're here this morning, you're a first-time visitor, Brother Ken, who's not here today, he's much cooler than me, I promise. He'll be back next week, I believe, and I encourage you to come back and listen and see what's going on. You know, it's exciting to be at a church that is seeking God. It's exciting to be with a body of believers who love Jesus Christ, who are wanting to see God move in a community and see great things happen. And this is a place that's doing that. I am fortunate to have lived in Oak Grove my entire life. I say since I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And seen many changes, seen some for the better, some for the worse. But one thing that always seemed to stay strong is First Baptist Church Oak Grove. Regardless of community situations, it always has given a great effort to be a lighthouse to this community. And I encourage you, as God's placed you in the pews now, to work toward being a lighthouse for this community and the surrounding area. People look to Jesus Christ, not always when things are perfect. Us that have been in it for a while, we know to look for Him all the time, every time. But oftentimes, people will come through your church doors when they're searching. They're looking. Those chains are on them. And they've tried everything in the world to find a chain breaker. And somebody may have mentioned something about Jesus. And then they can come here and find that and be made whole. Turn your Bible to Mark chapter 6. There's a verse of Scripture there about Jesus feeding the 5,000. It is amazing of what can happen when our lives, our situations get put in the hand of Jesus Christ. Good things happen. Let's just pick up there about verse 38, Mark chapter 6. To tell you the story, there had been a multitude of people, and the disciples come up, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, we need to send these folks home. They're getting hungry. They've been doing this for a while now. We need to get them out of here." And Jesus made a bold statement. He said, "You feed them." They're like, "What?" And he said, "Well, let's just look at it." They said, "Lord, we need to go buy a bunch of stuff and all these things." He said, "You know, it's just not going to work out." But Jesus said, and let's just read it there. It says, verse 38, "But he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 'We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make all of them sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven." This is the part I love so much. "He blessed it. And then he broke the loaves and he gave them to disciples to sit before them. And the 2 fish divided among them all. So they all ate. They were all filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments." And of the fish. So they had the fragments, the fish. They took up so much more than what they even began with. Let's pray this morning. Bow with me in prayer. I'm going to get a sip of water while we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We confess, Lord, that our abilities are so little. But God, your strength is so great. And we look for it this morning, not of ourselves, but to honor and glorify you. We pray it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You did not see that happen right there. So, thinking about our lives, you ever felt like what you did wasn't much? You think, "You know, Lord, we're just a little church in Kentucky. Or I'm just a little person, or I'm just a human being trying to make a difference in my family." Your family could possibly be like my family. My family got a lot of heathens in it. Amen. Yeah, I used to be one of them. I got family that don't know Jesus. And it's pretty evident when you're around them that they don't know Jesus. And sometimes you can feel overwhelmed. Sometimes you can feel out of place. But I think one of the things I have learned in life, we'll mention maybe two or three things, and then I'll close up, because as I said earlier, you very often hear of bad short sermons, but you often hear of bad long sermons. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet, but I do want to make an important point of taking our lives, regardless of how broken they feel or how hopeless sometimes situations come across, and allowing it to be placed into the hands of Jesus. And watch what God does in and through your life. The first one, how many times have you been led to believe that what you're doing for Christ isn't much? You know, oftentimes, you've started a Sunday school class, very few people show up. You started a Bible study. They all came in the beginning, but then it kind of faded. Whatever the case, you do things for Christ, and it seems like it can become irrelevant at times. Well, I want to read a funny little article here, but it makes a lot of sense. It says, when fighter planes were flanking its side, an Allied bomber, he crossed the English Channel, maneuvered its way through the German gun turrets, dropped its load of bombs on Berlin. As the convoy started its return flight to England, a group of German fighters appeared on the horizon. The English and American fighter planes tried to keep the Germans from attacking the bomber, but they were unable to stop every enemy plane. One German fighter made his way through the aerial barrage, managed to get to the bomber within range, and he began to shoot at that bomber. It says they stared in horror as five bullets, one after the other, pierced the body of the bomber and penetrated into the fuselage area where the gas tanks were located. Seeing the damage he had inflicted on the bomber with his shells, so the German fighter turned and flew away. Well, they just basically waited for the explosion, but it never happened. So they managed to land safely at an English airfield. The crew climbed down from the aircraft and carefully removed the shell from the fuselage area. Inside were five nearly perfect bullets that had not exploded. They had just merely crumpled up. The crew took the five bullets back to their barracks for inspection. When the soldiers opened the four bullets, they found something amazing. There was no gunpowder inside. They were completely empty. And when they opened the fifth bullet, they found something extraordinary rolled into a tiny wad inside the bullet. And here's what a note they had found in there that read, said, we are Polish prisoners of war, forced to make bullets in factory. When guards do not look, we do not fill with powder. It's not much, but it's the best we can do. Now, an entire war, that may not seem like a lot to some people. But to the folks riding on that plane and their families, it meant everything. You see, when you and I do ministry for Christ, it may seem irrelevant to some. You know, I even remember in life folks saying, man, you still going to church? You still doing that church stuff? Come on. And I'm like, 100%. I'm all in on this thing. And people will say, well, you preach to them and this and you preach to them and that. But I want to encourage you, there's always somebody God has for you to reach. I've never been more convinced of that in my life. There's someone somewhere waiting to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that one person may change one other person, or they may change 100 other people. You never know. But I want to encourage you to be on the lookout for someone that God has for you to share his hope and love with. You know, we've had a big weekend. We've been sharing the gospel at another church all weekend long. So many exciting things are happening. And what you notice when things begin to happen are when people begin to pray. When folks begin to gather and pray and seek God, and they begin to have an expectation of what God is going to do. You ever gone somewhere and had a very high expectation of it, and you're like, that wasn't worth $100, you know? Or you go some fancy restaurant in Nashville or wherever and you eat and they bring you your food and the portion is so small, you think, you know, I could have doubled this at Dairy Queen for three times less money. There are times you feel let down or a little overwhelmed and thinking, oh my. But with Christ, never, ever. He takes our very little lives with so little good in most of us. Some are probably better than others, but some of us always say, some of us are just not any good in us outside of Christ. And we need Jesus Christ every moment of our lives. But he'll take that, and he'll take that life, and he'll begin to influence that life, and you'll begin to have changes take place in your life. And when those things begin to happen and God begins to use you in a mighty way, I think there's something there that we can draw from that. You know, our best may not be much, but I still think we should give our best for God. That's when God blesses. When we have hardly approached something for Christ, maybe something, maybe not. But when you give your best for Christ, I'll guarantee you good things are going to happen. One thing I've noticed, that is something I've said very often, I pastored for 25 years in churches. Got a little eye trouble, so we semi-retired, which made me, what that really means is two things. One, I'm busier than ever. Two, I do stuff for free I used to get paid for, but I still love it more than anything. And one of the things you've noticed through 25 years of ministry, which isn't a lot, but it's enough to see a few things, you notice that folks that come through the doors, and you get to see God change their lives. And you want to see it happen for every single person. It just doesn't. And you can often say, why? And I joke with my wife, I said, you know, you can go to so many different churches, go to so many different states, country, whatever, and you see the same type circumstances very often. And you'll see a small group doing a great work, and you'll see a large group that are not as involved as they should be. And you just want to scream to the top of your lungs, we should all give our best to God and allow him to work and allow him to bless us. I remember one of the churches we were pastoring at, I remember the guy from the KBC called me up. That's Kentucky Baptist Convention. The guys from Tennessee Baptist Convention called, and they said, Brother Jim, we need to talk to you sometime. I said, all right, what you got? They said, well, they come by, and I thought it would be a great conversation. And it kind of was, but here's some of the conversation they gave me. They said, Brother Jimmy, we need to know why your church is growing. How come y'all baptizing so many people? They said, number one, you're not smart enough. Number two, your church's location is not good enough. And number three, you don't have enough money in your budget. Why is this happening? I said, I only think of two things. I said, one, we know how to pray. And I'm not talking about 5 minutes at an altar. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about you meet up on Wednesday night and you seek a God who can truly change things. And you give all you have to him and you leave the results up to him. Get ready. It'll happen. I've had people have to sit on 5 gallon buckets because every seat was full. Every scrounge up chair we could get was full. And you just see them sit on a bucket in the back in the hallway and kids sit on the front. And they wonder what's going on. And, you know, I've sat in church where people would say, Brother Jimmy, we never dreamed. Tears rolling down the older folks' face. We never dreamed this could be possible. We dreamed and prayed when we built this new facility that we'd at least see it full one time besides a funeral service. And they did. And it's because we preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and because we knew how to pray. You see our music? Our preaching? Well, I'll that one because I was a preacher. But it truly was a church that relied on Jesus Christ for everything. And the tears come easy when your heart is compassionate for Jesus. And then you go out and reach lost people. I always say the church could double in a week if every person took some responsibility to bring at least one person to church. Next week, bring them. You know, I used to be very easily agitated. I don't know. I'm married 28 years to a redhead. That's all I'm going to say. It just comes easy for some of us. But I could be in line at Walmart, and I'd say, Stacy, you check out. I can't stand this. I can't stand waiting in line. It irritates me. I'll say out loud about registers and everything else. Embarrassing. And then I said, well, Lord, I'm going to take advantage of this. Next person I'm in line with at Walmart, you know, you're kind of in line there sometimes long enough to really get to know them because it takes a while. I'll just ask them where they go to church at. I'll just ask them if they know Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, folks come visit our church that I've met in line at Walmart because I asked them to. Believe it or not, when you begin to speak about Jesus Christ, God will use you. The folks that have come in contact with every day, share Jesus with them. You want church growth? You know, here's what we generally want to do in our society. We want to buy a book and figure it out, right? 6 steps to a happier you. 5 ways to be free. I don't know about all that works or not. I know what does work when you get a Bible and you read it till you got to duct tape it. When you get a Bible and you cover it cover to cover and you rely on Christ, there's a joy that it will give birth to in your life that will allow you to so freely share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not a force. You ever had folks come up, knock on your door, and they're forced? I don't always tell people. One thing I never tell people is I'm a preacher. Because they're having a really good time in a crowd of people, and then they find out you're a preacher, and they're like, my cousin's uncle's a preacher. You know, that's kind of what you get. And they just get stiff as a board. But folks will come and try to share with you sometimes, and boy, they're so awkward at it. And I always said, Todd Gray's one of the best at it I've ever seen. He's so good at it. I am not as good at it. It works better for me if it's a relational evangelism. If I talk to you about hunting, fishing, sports, whatever, and then in that conversation, church comes up or Christ comes up, it's much easier for me than just to be that as direct. But finding our way, understanding that an almighty God, because I think that's where the thing needs to really come up this morning is, never underestimate what God can do. Never. God can do anything. And I think, what does it say, James 5? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You ever broke that down, studied that a little deeper? It basically said when you create an energy and an atmosphere, a fervent and heated passion for Christ, God honors that. God hears us when we pray. Don't you stop praying for your church. Don't stop praying for your pastor. I didn't know how hard pastoring was because I'd done it my entire adult life till I woke up one day and didn't have to do it anymore. I felt 10 years younger, 20 pounds lighter. I said, dear God, it feels so good to be unhooked from his plow. Thank you, Jesus. And I obviously have great compassion for men and their wives who come into ministry to come alongside us as church members now to do a work for God. I'm going to guarantee you it's not easy. It's challenging. It's difficult. The stress level is up here, and it never really leaves because the enemy hates us so much. But we can never underestimate what our God can do. Our God can do anything. What's your vision for your church? What's your vision for what? You say, Brother Jimmy, I want this and I want that. And then guess what has to happen? God's all right with us rolling our sleeves up and going to work. God's all right with us giving great effort and doing things that might grow the kingdom of God and seeing his work begin to take place, because every act of obedience to God is very significant. When you become obedient to what God wants you to do, when you hear testimonies of how God has healed churches, when you hear testimonies of God has healed people and helped break chains from their life, And what's going to, what could most likely happen, like I said, very seldom, and I'm talking about unchurched, us the church people, we know we should be in church when the doors are open serving God. But very seldom do you see some lost person walk off the street and say, well, I'm having a perfect day, and I just wanted to know more about Jesus. Doesn't happen. When do we generally go to the dentist? Not even when our tooth hurts. Now, my wife will go at the blink of a hat. She likes her shiny white teeth. I don't like going that often because usually it don't end good. You know, I got to have a toothache before I go to the doctor sometime. Or when I cough so much I think I'm about to die, I'll go to the doctor and tell him I need to be fixed. And tell him about 8 more things I've been wrestling with that I haven't gone for. And I think sometimes folks come to church when they have become overwhelmed. And when the church This is just truth. When the church can't meet that need, they're going to go back out. They're going to keep searching for it. But when someone comes to the church and will say, well, we may or may not be able to help you in every area, but one thing's for sure, you won't have to go through this alone. We'll walk with you. We will love you. We will help you. We will be with you through this process of God rebuilding your life. And when God rebuilds the life, it's obviously for His glory and for His strength. And then as God builds us up, this is something I'm so convinced of, that there's someone this morning sitting in their house. They thought about coming to Oak Grove First today, but they didn't. There's someone in a jail cell praying. Got a lot of buddies do jail ministry. I started out doing jail ministry many, many years ago. Never been in jail, of course, or my story, I haven't. I didn't know a lot about it. And a good friend of mine, Brother Kurt Zander, at the Christian County Jail, said, hey, Brother Jimmy, I love you. Come preach at the jail one day. And I said, yeah, sure, man, I love that. First thing they do, you walk through these doors and you hear this clank. Then you walk through another door and you hear a clank. And I'm thinking, no possible escape routes. And he's like, oh, Brother Jimmy, don't worry about it. We'll put you on the 900. Ward. I was like, all right, maybe that's just like, you know, little lenient stuff. It's where the murderers and the rapists were at. And I walk into a room about as big as this section of the church, and they walk me up front, this big burly looking guard. I'm thinking, all right, I'm a little anxious anyway. I'm a little high strung anyway. I'm a little anxious. But I got this guard with me. He walked me up and then left. And very quickly he said, hey, Brother Jim, if you have any trouble, there's a button on the back of the wall. Just run back there and push it, and we'll get in here. He said, by the way, so-and-so and so-and-so only came to fight, so just keep control of them. Don't give them any pencils. Don't give any pens. Preach the gospel. And I immediately began to pray for some help, and when I found that help, I said, you know what, guys? I think God's calling y'all to the jail ministry. And they're still doing it 15 years later. I'm not, obviously, wasn't my thing. But however, he still used it. And I think, because I believe we had like 13 or 14 first-time people receive Jesus. Every time we went, people received Jesus for the first time. Many rededications. And there's someone this morning, I don't know where God's called you to go. Maybe it's a nursing home. Maybe it's a hospital. You know, someone may have, the doctor may be leaving their room as we speak. And they've gotten news they did not expect to get. And they just need a kind person to pray with them. You see, we're the salt and the light. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. I know it's a lot of responsibility, but I think it's something if we give our best to honor God, God will honor that by filling our church. We've done ministry projects, mission projects, and always say it's a beautiful thing when you help someone that can never help you back. You think there's no return, but God always puts a return and finds a way to bless you for it. So if you're here this morning, obviously, and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're that person that's searching. You may not even know what you're searching for, but you're searching because there's something inside of you we call a void that's just missing. We understand that sin separates us from God. We understand that being separated from God, if we were to die, we would spend an eternity separated from God. We would be in hell. And if you've read Scripture over in Revelation, the Bible says death and hell gives up their dead and they're judged. Anyone's name not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into a lake of fire. It's a true story, true statement. That's why churches are open all over the country. We want to see people spend eternity with God. And God may be speaking to you this morning about making a decision to follow Him. A genuine, real thing to follow Him. And for those of us that are believers, that are so entrenched in the fight, we've dug in for Jesus and we're working for Him, I want to give you a huge encouragement this morning. Help's on the way. Amen? Isn't it a good thing when you know help's coming? It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I want you to know, you just continue to pray. You continue to seek God. And for me, it's the last song was, of course, you could tell those beautiful praise songs. And our worship leader said, Brother Jimmy, you pick one. I pitched an old bluegrass country song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This is kind of who I am because I love simplicity. I love the simple truth of the gospel. I love some of those simple hymns, those simple songs. The What a Friend We Have in Jesus. When everyone walks out on you, Jesus, like, I got you. When everyone's turned on you and given up on you for even if we deserved it, Jesus, like, I'm not quit. I'm not letting go of you. I'm still working. I'm still encouraging you. And for the Christian who has their, you know, we're just not quite there. We've not made that full commitment when it comes to our checkbook or that full commitment when it comes to our time. We've not made that full commitment to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we live our life. I want to encourage you to give your best to God. It will have a tremendous impact. It'll have a huge impact on those around you. So this morning, as we make those decisions, you go to different churches. I've gone to a church before and preached, and no one come to the altar. And I'm okay with that because you can do your business in your pew. But I always say altar call, and a lady come up to me after the service. Said, "Well, Brother Jimmy, we just don't do that anymore. We don't need to do that." And I'm like, "How you been living? I still need an altar, whether it's at my bed or my couch or right here in God's house, because I have to confess things to God, confess a need, confess my inabilities to help grow a church." Confess my inabilities to help be the best husband I should be. It takes God. My wife often helps him out quite a bit. They're definitely partners in that, for sure. And I encourage you this morning. You know, this is the last statement. You know, and this is what I wrote about myself. I'm in the not much category. I'm the guy that's never been much. Would be impressive in any which way, form, or fashion. If you met me outside of church, just very quiet, very to myself, and I kind of like myself, so I'm happy with me. You know, I could spend days on the couch, don't even have to get up. I'm just nobody. But what I've realized is, when you take a nobody life and you put it in the hands of Jesus, it is literally mind-blowing what he can do with that human being. I had never spoken public a day in my life until I stood up to preach and didn't really want to do it then. I said, God, if you've ever in your life made a mistake, you just made one. I'm going to prove you that you made one. And I remember my first sermon so many years ago, three churches. And I call them the Bapticostal-type churches, you know. They're on fire for Jesus. And they closed their services, and they all come to this one little church where I was preaching at. They all laid hands on me and prayed over me and said, Lord, when the boy preaches, let fire, the gospel come out. Let this, they just let it happen. There was so much energy in the church, so much love, with all these churches gathered together. I was the last one in my family to get saved. And all this stuff's going on, and I get up there, and I got my stuff, and I'm shaking, got a water and a cool rag, thinking I'm going to pass out. It's hot in there, too. They need to invest in the air conditioning for sure. And I think 7 minutes later, I was at the back door shaking hands with people. And for almost 30 years, they told me this yesterday. They said, Jimmy, you getting better. You getting better. I said, dear God, how bad it must have been. If man get better for 30 years. But guess what? Country boy term, I ain't quitting. He got to fire me. And he won't do that. And he won't do that to you. I don't care where your starting point is. That's not even that important. What's important is that you start. I talked to a young man yesterday at the altar. He's upset. Life facing some challenges in his life. And he said, Jimmy, I just need to do better. I said, let me tell you what helped me. I began to read my Bible. I used to cuss like a sailor, act like a goof. Sailors get a bad rap, right? You know what? I take that statement back. I used to cuss like very few people I knew that cussed, okay? And I acted as goofy and ignorant at times as anybody you ever met and did some of the stupidest stuff you'd ever think of, even after I got saved. And I knew I was saved because I knew it was wrong when I did it. I did it anyway. And then I got this Bible, and I began to read it for myself. And if ever anything in my life changed me, and that's what I told this young man, I said, it is living water. It is life. It is substance. John 1:14, I think I heard your pastor quote it last time I was here. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth and mercy and all of God's goodness. Read the book. Don't just do it an hour a week. You know, I'm the guy that can preach 2 hours on one verse. But go home and read that Bible cover to cover. And I shared that with that young man, and I felt like he truly was interested in doing that. So I'm asking you to make a starting point. If you're lost, come get saved. Don't wait around for that. Trust me. Best thing you'll ever do. You'll feel a sin burden leave you. You never knew. You just never knew you could feel so free. You never knew. But it'll happen. And then for those of us that are just in those trenches, keep fighting. Like I said, help's coming. God will send it. Keep praying. God will send it. Make room, share, grow together. So let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, that story always amazes me. How men who were in a circumstance that obviously they would have been shot if they would have been caught not filling those bullets full of powder. God, they did it anyway to try to save someone else's life. And Lord, I think about our circumstances. We're not in such a dire situation as them, but Lord, sometimes we won't even open our mouth and invite people to church because we're afraid it's going to be an awkward conversation. Lord, I pray we have such fullness of You in our life that it just naturally comes out. It comes out easy. It comes out without all that awkwardness. Just like we talk about things we love, it just shares with people. Because Lord, I am certain there's more people that need to be in these seats. And there's a chance a few will just show up if we continue to pray. But I think the chance increases tremendously if we make it a mission to invite someone, to personally invite someone to church. We know the statistics for that are huge when we as church members do those things. So, Lord, I pray that we would begin to do that. And for those of us, Lord, our lives just a little bit wrecked, we're going to put it in Your hands this morning. We're going to turn it all over to You. And Lord, we know the most wonderful thing will happen because You'll bless that life. And when You bless it, it begins to multiply. And it begins to spill out, to not only bless us and fill us, but it begins to bless and fill others too. So we thank You for this morning. We do pray for Pastor Ken. I pray for his leadership. I pray for his well-being. Pray for his family. I ask a great blessing over the man of God's life. Lord, let him be refreshed and strengthened. Give him vision, knowledge. And Lord, I pray folks would just come shake his hand and say, preacher, I'm with you. What are we going to do? What's next? I'm going to give more time. I'm going to give more effort. I want to see this thing grow. I want to see something happen here that causes the KBC to show up and try to figure it out so they can make a model of it. I want to see things happen, Lord, that couldn't no man ever do. And that's only when we put it in Your hands. So we do that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're singing a song. They were practicing a beautiful, beautiful song about in Christ.